You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, we compare the size of our man caves, Future Retro goes three player, and it's hard to make fun of yourself and pile of shame when the game you're not playing is already a parody. Ugh, look at the size of those thighs.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Bing.
Guess where I am?
In my house? How'd you get here? How'd you get in? Who gave you the key? Oh, it's that one window that I can't close.
Yeah. No, not this time. Not this time.
Oh, thank God. Well, then who is in the room with me? Oh. It's just my oversized cloud doll. I don't know. I don't have an oversized cloud doll.
No. I mean, it would your full length body pillow would get jealous. Okay. All right. Anyway, wow. No, I'm not reporting from your brand new house or right. Your. I am reporting from my brand new house.
Oh, right.
And hey. more specifically, my den of shame.
Oh no! Is it just filled with games you've never played? What does that mean?
Wow. Yeah, it kind of is. But I've played at least a third of these. wow. Yeah. I am reporting from my recently built game room. Yes.
Awesome.
What were the dimensions of here? My 5-foot by 8-foot walk-in closet / paradise.
That sounds amazing.
The builder, because my house was built, so I submitted my plan, because there was an extra room, and I'm like, oh man, that's my game room. And I submitted my plans for the shelving of this room, and I had to go back and forth a couple of times, because they're like, is that, you really want this? And I'm like, yes, I would like about 50% of the room to be shelves. Like, I have wraparound shelves. In this room, it's basically a door, a small desk, and shelves. That's it. I will have enough room for a chair.
Do you have any room for like a TV to play the games on?
I've got a little CRT in here right now, and I'm wondering. You know, it actually looks really good. It's old. It's it's a CRT. It's one of the CRTs with a built-in VHS player.
Oh. Wow.
The screen is quite small. That's my only drawback. The screen is quite small. It's like a 14-inch display. You know, it's small. But the games look fantastic on it because it's a CRT. But it's a kind of later CRT.
Sure.
You know, it's not an early one, so it doesn't look terrible. But it's not a late one that tries, you know. So Famicom looks phenomenal on it. It looks so good. It's my memories coming back. But I've also got some newer systems in here, and it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have like 480p.
Okay.
So what I might do is I might still go with CRT, but I might upgrade it to like a little bigger, maybe a widescreen one.
Or you should do to get really hardcore.
What?
You should get a Sharp C1.
Oh my God, I should. Yes. No, I don't have that kind of money. But. Do you think viewers know what you're talking about there?
I think we discussed it during one ancient podcast that we did, and it's like the graphic for that one, but we should probably refresh everyone's memory.
It was once again a collaboration with Sharp.
Right.
That actually had an NES built into a television monitor, and it was probably the best way you can experience NES games, because it was direct and it was wonderful. And they used to use these suckers when they took screenshots of games because it looked so much better than any other screen.
And the Japanese ones, I think they were specifically designed so that you could still plug the Famicom disk system into it.
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. They had a Dreamcast equivalent.
What? I did not
know
this.
The Diver or something. Gosh, what was it? What was it called? It kind of looked like one of the early like IMAX. You know, those like weirdly colored. Gosh, what was it called? It's super ridiculously expensive these days, though. Yeah, it was called the Diver's Dreamcast, and it basically looks like a prop from Space Channel 5. let's nice. Include no let's totally include some pictures of it in the so go to our show notes and you can see this crazy thing, and they go for like $1,000 these days. It's totally not worth it, but oh no, it's totally worth it. I'll have one. That's what I'm gonna play games on in this room.
Well, since your Dreamcast died, I guess.
You know what I watch Famicom Dojo on in this room?
Oh, dude.
I suppose I could have put it on the PlayStation 3 or the PlayStation 2 or any of these other things, but yeah. I was recently watching Famicom Dojo off my Laserdisc player.
You have like some kind of like combo Laserdisc DVD.
I have one of the later Pioneer models that actually has a DVD player in it as well.
Because mine, which used to be yours, just has a CD tray, I think.
Yep. But it's similar to that, how that pops out separately.
Sure.
It's hilarious though, because I was putting the disc in and there's this ginormous tray. This thing is huge. I mean, this Laserdisc player is ridiculous in size. Just it stands on myself enormous, the way man thinks of God is big.
wait, that's a quote from something, isn't it?
It is plagiarized and it adapted from a quote from
I'm gonna feel embarrassed. Fight Club, and then
Fight Club, which I have on Laserdisc.
Of course you do.
One of the last Laserdisc releases. Anyway, I've got all this stuff in my room, and I'm still setting up. I'm still unpacking things. So one wall, the back wall, and you'll see this in future videos because I just got a camera. Yeah, we could actually start recording again.
Right.
My kids had destroyed my previous video camera, so footage had been a little tricky for a bit. Anyway, the back wall is just going to be a bunch of systems just kind of hanging there. Probably I'll just put their cords all in a big box so I can just hook up what I need to. I could wire it so that they're all hooked up to this tiny little TV, but I think that would look really super dumb. So.
Oh, yeah. Like, I basically have, like, the most common cables that I use hooked to a Switch, and just all the consoles just stored away until I need to bring them out.
I'm going to put them on a shelf because I want it to be super lame. I've got, what do I have right now? I've got the Xbox 360, a stack of GameCubes.
Yeah.
I have a problem. I have 4 GameCubes.
No, I have 3. Yeah, okay. You're a little bit worse off than me. But I have 3 Wiis.
What is it with the GameCube that you can't own just one?
Well, they're really cheap in Japan. Like, I got...
Super cheap.
I got my orange one with, like, the Game Boy player for, like, $30 total. It didn't come with a controller, but it came with an AC adapter. And I don't need anything else because I have enough controllers. I have an orange controller that I bought with my original...
The Spice Orange GameCube is the one to have. I just got one recently for $5. it didn't come with anything. It was just the cube itself. But like, I have all the stuff and it worked fine. Right. It was one of those like sold as is, like the store didn't have any way of testing it. But I'm like, $5. I'm like, if it doesn't work, I'm going to make it into a lunchbox. So.
or a fine hat.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. So. If only I could find a way to network them together and do folding at home. Okay. Anyway.
Wait, no. What you can do, I guess, well, you I don't know how much broadband modems cost there, but you know,
super much, but yeah.
Okay. Well, the thing I would love to hook up 8 GameCubes on a network and have like 8 TVs and play 16 player Mario Kart Double Dash.
I'll get right on that. Anyway.
Oh, that would be so hardcore.
Yeah, I heard. I'm sure that.
I've done that once with two GameCubes and eight people.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that with a Jaguar as well. The Atari Jaguar, you could play Doom on two Jaguars and two TVs.
I was going to say, did Mario Kart come out for Jaguar?
No, but Atari Karts did. Atari Karts did, which was a total Mario Kart ripoff and somehow managed to be not as good as the Super Nintendo version despite being on a, quote, 64-bit, unquote, system. Hey, Jaguar fans, I know you're writing to me right now. I love the Jaguar. I love the Jaguar, and that is one system that I'll be picking up when I go home to over December because it's in a box somewhere in the basement of my house, and I miss it. I miss it.
And if you have the CD attachment, it looks just like a toilet.
I do have the CD attachment. I do have the CD attachment because, I mean, I think you know me well enough that I would definitely have the CD attachment. Okay, anyway.
Of course.
So I'm unboxing stuff, and I've got a bunch of GameCubes, two Wiis, a Saturn in a box that's gray, and a Saturn that's white that's not in a box, and my action figure of Segita Sanshiro standing upon my Saturn.
Oh, my gosh. So this
Daring me to play it.
This episode where you interviewed your parents
yes,
shamed you finally into bringing that stuff with you.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I'll pick up the best of the stuff, but I think a lot of it's going to have to get. I wonder if my hometown even has a used video game store that I can unload a lot of that stuff.
Because
it's too much to bring back. It's too much to bring back to the States, and I think it's even too much. Do you have a game room?
Well, funny you should mention that. So I had a game room back in the day when I was, you know, a young eligible bachelor.
I lived in it for a while.
In the mid-aughts. Oh, sure. Yeah. So back in college, I had this whole basement set up. I didn't have nearly the amount of stuff I have now, of course. But it was this, you know, this basement windowless game center.
Nerd den.
Yeah. So after college, I moved out of that house I was renting. I had like an efficiency and then I had like a loft. And there's really nowhere to have stuff, you know, like I didn't have any walls. I wanted walls again. Like, well, no interior walls, I should say. I had exterior ones.
Where did you live? Okay.
But like, you know, these were the places where I originally filmed Famicom Dojo. Actually, I should say we started playing it in the first place, and I have recorded it in the second one. Yeah. But then I moved to a two bedroom condo, and I didn't need two bedrooms, so one of them became my office / studio / game room.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
So
I've never been there, but
no. But I moved out of that place recently, got another place that it's billed as a four bedroom house, but it's really like two bedrooms and a large den.
Wait, it's billed as four bedrooms, but it has two bedrooms and a large. Oh, the large den would have been considered two bedrooms.
I think originally it was, but because it's like part of a duplex. So
that must be an awful large den.
Yo, it's very nice. Like it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's two oblong rooms that are now connected by a large open doorway. So on one half.
Wait, that's your gaming room now?
Oh, this is entirely my room.
Wait, you get what is essentially two bedrooms worth of den, and I am in a dingy closet. This is not fair.
And you built your house.
I have way more games than you do.
You probably do, but you know, one of these rooms has. This just massive shelving. And I have everything set up on it. If anyone watched, I should link this in the show notes. If anyone watched my video about the Wii U GameCube adapter that I did, just a simple little vlog. It's in the background there. Oh, and once we get our Kickstarter video out,
woohoo!
That's also the background that I used.
The background that I used for our Kickstarter video is a house that I don't live in anymore.
It's true.
So
we recorded that before the camera broke.
Yes, we did. I think I might have had facial hair in that one.
I don't remember. I don't time to go back and review the footage and get it done so we can get that thing off the ground.
Yeah, I hope we don't have to record anything new. Continuity will be a problem.
there is an out of date joke in there, which I think we discussed and we're going to agree to leave in there.
Do you think they'll ever impeach Nixon?
Something like that. Oh dear. So I've been filling this up. I have all my stuff out now because for the year I was selling my house, I had to put everything in storage or like keep it in the basement out of sight so that when people went through the house, they didn't have to see all my nerd stuff.
Most of my stuff is at my in-laws right now. They think I'm way dumb. But anyway.
But you gave them wonderful grandchildren, so.
Yes, yes, I did. I hope they give them back. Okay.
Oh goodness. But yeah, now all my stuff is out, including a lot of things that I didn't have before. I unpacked. I have not seen my Dreamcast or Sega Saturn games for like 2 years.
Wait. You've gone 2 years without playing Sega Saturn or Dreamcast.
That's right. And even though I've had the stuff unpacked for a few months now, I still haven't done it. But it's like there's some good stuff in there. Like you mentioned Soccer Wars.
Yes.
Right? A few episodes ago. And I have like the first two games. I've just never played them.
A den is the perfect place to play them. You can have your laptop on with the translations and you can just page through it and yeah, you should play this finally.
So basically like the one half is the library with like the shelves. I have more shelves because there's not enough shelving in here. I have a DVD rack, which you've seen in the old videos before, the big tall black one that's bigger than I am. Yep. I have a whole rack for CDs yet. I'm about to bring up some really obnoxious orange shelving that's going to put my Transformers and other toys on there. It's going to be way nerdy in here. The other half is essentially what my living room was. So,
wow.
So in our current place, our living room is more of our kids' playroom.
Yeah.
There aren't any electronics in there. There's no furniture to speak of, but like our instruments are in there, like our guitars and stuff, our piano, my wife's desk. So she has a space that she can have for her own.
So wait. You got what is essentially two bedrooms put together to be your gaming room.
Right.
And your wife gets a desk.
She was okay with it. She gets the rest of the house.
Oh, okay, okay.
Now this is my area and it has all the electronics and we can like literally lock it off from the kids if we need to.
Yep, yep, that's one thing my dingy closet has.
On the other hand, my older son who's like 2.5 now, he knows how to unlock and open the door. At this point.
Now that he's old enough to play video games.
He likes to look at the people on the Mii Plaza or on the on the 3DS. Like he can't do much yet, but he does know enough where he can pick up a Game Boy Advance, turn it on, open up a save game, and like if it's like Zelda or Metroid I've had in there recently, he just like starts pushing the A and B buttons. And he gets mad because he can't when you open up Metroid, you're on that save platform in not Fusion. Zero Mission. You can't do anything unless you move off the platform. And he starts pushing buttons and it's like, Dad, help. And so I have to keep reminding him that the D-pad does stuff.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. D-pads are hard for kids. I don't remember learning it myself. I must have been, I think I just picked it up and I don't know. I guess I was a little older, but yeah, D-pads, especially the iPad generation, they have no idea how this thing works.
I grew up with an Apple joystick.
Yeah, me too. And keyboard, I guess, too.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing he can do is he can start up Thomas the Train and Netflix from turning on the Wii U gamepad.
Yep.
He gets right there.
And but he's all, yeah.
My laptop isn't a touchscreen. They make those now, but it's Windows 8. So he knows to push the window key to get to Netflix.
Wow.
And he'll try and poke the screen to open up Netflix. And I keep telling him
my dad does the same thing. He should know better though. Wow, less cute when it's your son and my dad. Okay, anyway.
But what I'm trying to tell you is I think I might have room for your stuff if you need me to help you sell it.
I might. I better let let it be known, because I think my parents are in a throw things away, like, you know, they had the empty nest syndrome for a while, I suppose, when we all left, but now they're just like, why is all their crap here?
It's been a decade since you've left, so.
It has, and they've given up hope that I'm ever moving back now that I've bought a house, so.
Built and designed a house for your specific man cave.
Yeah, it's a man, oh man, it's a man boy cave, I guess. All I can say is, like, it's a good thing I'm already married.
How did we trick this woman into marrying us? How did this?
Because if I wasn't, you know, I found a name for my game room.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I'm gonna call it the Deal Breaker. No, I don't know. I'm still trying to find names for this room. For a while, I was thinking of calling it the Sadness Room. Or the Room of Shame.
Sure, the Room of Shame isn't too bad. I kind of like that, but it sounds a little too on the nose.
Man Cave sounds too much like the people who would beat me up if they knew what was in my man cave. You know what I mean? That word's. I think I need for a man cave. I think I need football,
and beer fridge.
Not that my game room will not have these things eventually, but it's not the primary design.
Sure,
I don't. But it's
they're not like disembodied moose heads.
Man, not yet. Anyway,
do they even have moose in Japan?
My whole house smells. I don't know if they do. My whole house smells so nice because it's new and it's hardwoods and it's really nice. But my game room smells like a library, like a public library.
Oh, you better watch out for the Bastion Arata. Doctor Who. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Ah! Oh, sorry. Wow. Yeah, sorry. I try to block out River Song episodes. Anyway. I don't have a chair in here yet, so I'm lying on the floor. I'm using a stuffed Domo-kun toy as a pillow right now. And I am leaning against a stack of laser discs. Let me randomly pull some out. Ooh, Face Off.
Are you... No one... Ooh, Navy SEALs!
Terminator.
No one ever says that.
Very... Ooh, The Never-Ending Story.
I first saw... The Godfather on four-sided Laserdisc.
I think that was my Laserdisc, too.
I think you're right.
Ooh, The Unforgiven. I should watch that.
So, all right. We have our respective man caves.
What is in your man cave?
What is in my man cave? Your
Transformers rack of...
That's not put up yet, but, like, you know, I have all my DVD. I have all my DVDs. I have all my games. They're out now. I have just like piles and piles of cartridges and stuff. It's you know, these are really tall shelves, so they're not really tailored for my collection. But you know, then like I have the whole like office half, which is where I'm recording the podcast right now.
Yep.
And things I'm going to stick in the attic so I can make more room for other boxes. Yep. Basically this is what you're going to see in videos from now on. Basically, I've already recorded a few from the couch, which has nothing in the background besides the wall. I'm going to fix that pretty soon. But like this tiny little corner I've been recording from for the last several months is not indicative at all of what is going on in here. So once I actually have it clean and presentable, I think you will be seeing more of it. But as according to my wife, who's idea this room was, it has been saving our marriage, unless I don't come out for hours at a time, in which case it just defeats the purpose.
Being away from her is going to save your marriage.
More like, you know, I think the biggest reason we only had 13 episodes of the podcast last year was because I was evicted from my previous man cave due to the birth of my first child, and I had nowhere to record that it wouldn't wake up somebody. I couldn't be too loud. I couldn't play games, watch TV without headphones on, just because it would wake up our infant.
The purpose of mine was to get my crap out of the living room.
Right?
But yeah, I guess essentially. Wow, there's only one very small window in here. This is so depressing. But
I have a bunch of windows, which is very nice in one hand, but it's also leads out to a noisy street, so.
But this is crazy because like when I was designing the shelves for this room, I designed them. Here are my dimensions. Lower two shelves are designed to be a Laserdisc box set plus 2 centimeters for getting fingers in height.
Mm.
Because the box sets are in bigger boxes.
Right, so you got to be able to pull them out. Sure, sure. Yep.
The upper shelves are 2 CD sized games tall, and 3 CD sized games deep with a little bit of wiggle room.
Okay.
Whatever, and some of the upper shelves are pretty much designed for DVD style cases. Yeah, this was designed as the world's smallest, creepiest game room. But I love it. I mean, this is my room. This is awesome. I'm gonna have. But my brother came and he saw this and he's like, "This is so small." He's like, "It's all shelves," and he's like. And I'm like, well, I'm going to, you know, there's the small TV right there. And he's like, could you even get a second chair in here? And I'm like, why? And he's like, you know, if someone wants to come over and play in here. And I'm like, I think the nature of the room itself means that no one will ever visit me. <You know? laughs> you'd come here.
Sure, but you know, who knows when I'll visit.
Yeah, but I want to know about other people's gaming rooms, their man caves. I think a lot of our listeners are to the point where they're also collectors and they've got games from multiple generations. I know new gen gamers, you know, they'll go sell the old systems off, so they really only have one thing hooked up to their TV at a time.
Whereas we have like 3 or 4 GameCubes apiece.
Well, exactly. Yes, yes, yes. I have more GameCubes than you have video game systems total. And for me, that sounds cool. but I mean, we're the type of people who have the intention of keeping original boxes and things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Although I have gotten rid of a lot of them over the years, just for space. But now that I have room... What about, so for our listeners, I think you fall in the same boat that we do, where I would love to see photos of your game rooms, your gaming setups, or if you'd like to record a little bit about you talking about them, we'd love that for a future episode. I want to know what people are doing. Do you have everything hooked up, or are they kind of like, or are they like Sean's, which are relegated to boxes somewhere where you don't play them for 2 years? or like mine where they're museum display, you know, but not hooked up until I actually need them. I just bring the one I'm going to play down. I have seen some people who have made custom racks and they have everything hooked up to a TV, so there's just a massive switcher box, so you can, you know, you have everything at the go. I would just love to see and what people are doing, or better yet, those who don't have a dedicated game room but have a large collection, how do you manage that? That would be interesting for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how, what direction is your man cave going in eventually?
What do you mean?
I mean, this is, you're going to add some furniture there. You're going to,
more room.
You just told me there was tons of room when you think you're going to get
sit. There's a chair in here that needs to go. Like it's just sitting in the middle of everything. It's in front of some shelving right now, so I can't see some of the NES games.
Yeah.
It needs to leave, and there's no furniture really to speak of in the actual living room. So that works out perfectly. But, I have shelving, I have space to put like, you know, small things in that I can like fit around stuff.
Yeah,
some of those boxes, like I said, are going to be leaving soon. But you know, apart from like my office chair, like my drum throne for not an actual drum kit, mind you, but for Rock Band, which I've also not been able to play for 2 years for much of the same reasons. This is really just the couches, and you know, sometimes I just sit on the floor, especially when I'm playing my CRT. So,
I like to sit on the floor when I'm podcasting.
Right.
I'm very comfortable right now. Domo-kun over here, leaning on some laser discs. Little Famicom data recorder almost fell on me.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen with What's my man happen? Cave. It's going to ebb and flow and swell and unswell. according to the kinds of videos that we're working on. And, you know, I'm building this huge Tengen collection, like I mentioned last episode, but I don't need it all. Like, once I do our video, I'm just going to keep the ones I want. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll just give them away as prizes or something after the video comes out.
We should do that. We should have some giveaways.
Right? We have stuff that we got from certain publishers about 3 years ago that we never gave out.
Are you talking about that we in Japan?
Yeah,
I've got them. They're in bubble wrap. I can say it. Why not?
Okay.
Why not? I mean, or is this a surprise?
No, it's been 3 years.
I've got some autographed games made by Skip, right? the company. I've got an autographed Captain Rainbow, and a couple of their Game Boy Advance games. And I've been wanting to have a giveaway, but I don't know.
Did you know that I have copies of those as well? Like I took some of them back with me.
I did not realize that.
Did you not remember that?
Oh, well, maybe the copies I have are my copies.
Yeah, I think I have the autographed ones. They're sitting out. They're sitting out right next to me here, and I have them. Like I have two copies of Captain Rainbow and Boundish.
Oh, and there is then the copies I have are also autographed, but to Kevin. Oh, okay, so.
Sure.
I think one of these is
supposed to be for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have a Japanese Wii.
You don't?
No.
Why?
Well, until I got these games, why would I have needed one? Like, I thought about buying one when I was over there. But, you know, I got that Spice Orange GameCube instead.
They are so cheap in Japan right now. There was one at Famicom Dojo a couple days ago for $20.
Yeah, that's how much I got mine for it. Was it Friends, I think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Boundish you can play. It's a Game Boy Advance game, so you can play this.
Yeah, that's region free. That's back before Nintendo hated me.
Oh, shoot, my square reader. I need to make sure I have this. That's very important. So yeah, we should probably get in the future retro in a minute here, but basically, you know, we need to be more awesome with our stuff. I think it would help engage people, right?
I think so.
Give these things away. I also have some copies of a game that we are reviewing for something that I haven't announced yet. Dun dun dun.
Yep.
But we'll get to that when we get that video out. But awesome.
I also have realized that I have two copies of The Phantom Menace on Laserdisc. And I can't imagine that I need two copies. So, upcoming contest.
Could you even ship that without it shattering?
Sure. I'll wrap it in dingy towels.
Oh, God.
I'll wrap it. Let's see. What would be that's on topic, plentiful. I'll wrap it with the tears I shed upon watching it for the first time.
Jeez. All right, what is your future retro?
Well, I hate to go with another cute 'em up, but I'm
good. What?
A cute 'em up.
I guess I understand what that means, but I've literally never heard that term before.
Really? It's like a cute shoot 'em up. Like, so last one I went with Air Zonk or PC Denjin. And I mean, I guess, you know, there's lots of ones in this genre, but probably maybe this is the one that actually started the whole thing. This is a Twinbee. I'm going with Moero Twinbee, and it is the second, you know, actually, not knowing the whole arcade history of this game, I don't know if I'm confident saying second game, but it's the second game that was on Famicom.
Okay.
And it's the second, and it was a disc system exclusive, or well, not sorry, it was a disc system game originally.
Timed exclusive.
It was timed exactly. Because it later got put on a cartridge in much the same way Zelda did,
sure.
And Castlevania. But originally it was, which is interesting because one of the early games for the disc system and the disc writer was the first Twin Bee, which was a cartridge game. A lot of the early cartridge games got ports to the disc system and disc writer specifically. Anyway, it's a fun little game. It's since it's a Twin Bee game, it's really cute. You know, you're shooting bells and lots of catchy music and colorful flying things. And I like this game because it is one of the few that is a three-player game. So it actually
right.
I usually play it with the two built-in controllers and the B-pad.
Okay. I don't have a copy of this, and there may be a cause to use this in a video at some point.
All right, I'll send you a copy. Stop your begging.
You don't have to ask. No, I don't just send me the copy. I'm just saying it's good that you have it.
Okay. Oh, did I? Do you know? I don't know if I ever mentioned this. I think I posted a picture of it. But you know what I'm playing Famicom stuff off of right now, right?
Not a Retron 5.
Not. Oh, wait for it. I've actually got a story about that in just a moment. But
okay.
Well, for the longest time, I was playing off my Twin Famicom because I think that is the of the released systems, that is the highest form of Famicom you can use.
Yes.
I know.
No. I agree with you for various reasons. I would say it was the AV Famicom, but no microphone means no microphone.
No microphone in the controller, so despite that it has the AV hookups like the Twin, but yeah. Nope, I've got the ultimate. I've got the ultimate now.
What could this possibly be?
It is a Famicom, the family computer, not the most common kind, not the weird early release with the square buttons, but a regular Famicom, but very clean.
Wait. I think it just blew my mind a little bit.
Did I? Yeah, the initial release of the Famicom had square buttons.
I must have known this. I knew this, right?
You must have known this.
I don't know.
This is the second podcast in a row that I have to remind you that we're supposed to be the experts on Japanese gaming.
No, you're supposed to be the expert, and I'm the one who's learning.
Oh, yeah, it's My Fair Lady. Which you've told me since our last podcast was actually in the end learning how to love, and I don't know if we're ever going to get to there in our podcasts, but anyway, all right. So, but it's the standard one, and it's been modded.
You did it.
I did it.
Well, someone did.
I have no idea how to do that, but someone courtesy of Yahoo Auctions did. And so I have my disc system underneath it, so it has that awesome form factor. The AV mod actually is producing a stronger signal than my Twin Famicom, so it actually looks a little better than my Twin Famicom. And it's got the stereo. Well, I don't know if it's true stereo. I think it's just mono twice, but the Twin was only mono.
Okay.
So it's the highest form that I can play my original cartons on right now, other than argument of virtual console, but for playing the original thing. So that's the setup I've got going on right now, with a nice fresh disc system underneath it with a brand new band, because Daddy's got a brand new band.
So is this like an official replacement band, or is it like one of the homebrew?
It was one of the new old stock, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It was a Nintendo released one near the end, but it hasn't been used before.
Okay. I'm lucky mine still works. The one in my Twin Famicom has literally crumbled to dust.
Yeah.
but sounds I need to get that replaced. Right?
I have two more bands right now.
Well, I don't have those. I need those other things we've talked about before. So I would gladly purchase one of them off of you.
Okay.
Awesome.
That's what I'm playing for. That's the only one that stays hooked up to my TV.
Okay.
Because I mean it's two in one really, because disc system games and I like it. Although it actually feels a little more retro-y when I hook it up through composite. I'm not composite, sorry, the coaxial. Because that's how I remember it, but it's sure. I like the sharpness. And using it from a CRT still, it's nice. But actually when I hook it up to the HD TV using the composite, it actually looks it looks weird. It looks weird.
Really?
Yep. So, that's my cave. All laser discs and I'm such a nerd. just a nerd. The only action figure I have is my Segita Sanchiro. All right. How about you?
Well, I picked up a game looking for, in my quest for more Tengen, I picked up a game because I was looking for something else and I can't remember what it was. It might have been Pikmin 2. Not really sure. I did not find it.
I want to play the first two Pikmins because Pikmin 3 was so good.
The first one I really enjoyed. I never played the second one.
Hmm.
But I ended up picking up Punch Out for Wii because it was very cheap. It was there, and I played it originally in 2011. I was at BotCon, one of the four conventions I went to that year, the fourth of which was TGS.
Okay.
So that was my first experience playing Punch Out for Wii, and I never got my own copy because even though I really enjoyed it, I just could not justify spending $50 on it at the time.
I don't know why. It is,
but I had this problem with Wii games in general where I just could not pay over $40 for most of them. A mental block. I don't know. I had no problem dropping $60 on Dragon Age or Mass Effect, but actually I had a problem with the original Dragon Age because I only spent $40. Anyway, I picked up Punch Out.
Okay.
And I don't remember what prompted this exactly. I think it might have been a video I was watching or something about the original one. And it's like, well, I want to know how far I can get in this game just knowing the patterns and the general controls for the original Punch Out. And surprisingly, quite far. They throw you a few loops.
Yeah.
And throwing in different characters that weren't in the original game. But more or less, the control scheme is the same, although they've sort of changed up the uppercut move. It's like a star punch now, and you can load up to 3 stars to make it more powerful.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of thing. And then as you progress through the circuits, you will face some old enemies, and they will have some kind of mechanism or padding or something that will prevent you from using those tricks on them again. So like Last Joe has like one of those padded practice wrestling.
So you mean like in the original game?
Was the original game like that too?
Yeah.
Oh God.
When you meet like Piston Honda the second time, the second time the exploit basically that you had doesn't work. And the same with Don Flamenco. I think he's the one you faced. It's been a long time since I played, but yeah, they had opponents who came back with some of their weak points fixed. Yeah.
Oh geez. I didn't make it to Mike Tyson once cause I had the Mike Tyson version,
yeah.
But that was like 20 years ago.
I think I only made it with a code. I would always get stuck on, I think it was Super Macho Man or Bald Bull. I don't remember which one. I watched someone get to Mike Tyson, though. I think a old babysitter or something. But Mike Tyson was so cheap.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to leave that one alone. Anyway.
I mean... Yeah, but in that original version of the game, they had to censor it, of course, because once the rating system came, they couldn't keep that ear biting scene in. There, I went there. Okay,
all right.
We're done.
But So this game is very gorgeously animated, although on my, you know, it's only 480, and on my HDTV, it looks a little jagged.
Yeah.
Honestly, but it's still a very pretty game, and it plays very well. And they've added like a lot of the like sound effects and like graphics that you would see in an actual.
I love that. Oh. I love that. Yeah.
It's very, very nice touch, but you still have like your trainer. Oh God, there was like a version of this game.
Yeah.
It's download.
A Club Nintendo exclusive, I think.
Yeah. Where you can actually play as, what is his name?
Oh gosh. Oh, I don't remember. All I know is he would always tell me to subscribe to the Nintendo Fun Club news.
Oh, nice.
Feel bad that I don't know. Yeah.
They have a much more involved training scene, which, you know, ends with the classic bike ride that
yes.
has been ruined for me due to a very racist meme.
Oh. But,
yeah.
Not gonna look it up. Don't want to ruin.
Nope, not gonna say what it is. But yeah, this is a game I think you should pick up if anyone can find it, even though it's from a generation ago. I think it's not retro yet, but I think it's a classic.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I liked it. I would like more.
Right.
Interestingly enough, I skipped over Super Punch Out, and I'm thinking of picking it up.
I saw a copy and didn't buy it, so I think I might know.
I think it's going to go on sale because a lot of the games that are connected with Smash Brothers are going on sale these next few weeks.
Oh, you're talking about the virtual. I guess I can get the virtual console version. It's probably cheaper and easier.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I've ever seen a copy in Japan. I wonder if it even came out in Japan. Super Punch-Out. Mm. It must have. But if I know the original came out. But
right.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to look into that.
So, pile of shame. What do you got this week?
Bubble Bobble. Wait for it. Okay, because you already know I've talked about Bubble Bobble and how much I like this game. So,
sure.
But I have it on the NES right now. It is my only NES cartridge.
Right,
sitting on my shelf right now.
I can see how that would be hard to play.
Came in the mail a couple days ago, and I'd very much like to play it. I mean, I can play it. I've got, you know, it never came out on cart in Japan.
Right. That was okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I knew that.
It was a disc system. I mean, it came out for a cart on like MSX and stuff like that. But I mean, for Famicom, it was a disc system only game, and with save, which was very nice because it's quite a long game. I have this. I wanted to play it because my brother and I used to play it a lot when we were younger because it's two player simultaneous and it's a fun game. I have the original game that kind of inspired like a spiritual prequel, not prequel. I don't know.
Sure.
What am I thinking? The game that inspired it. It's like called like Chalk and Pop or something.
Okay.
A lot of similar enemies, but anyway,
interesting.
Didn't come out in the States, but it's a fun game. If look it up, maybe I'll use that as a future retro thing later. But anyway, so it's just sitting here. I bought it thinking I'd be able to play it now, but I can't because I am still not in the possession of a Retron 5.
Oh, well, those are shipping now, aren't they?
Yep.
Like as of Midwest Gaming Classic in March, I thought that's finally coming over on the boat. It's like June, I think, they finally arrived.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So you don't have it though.
Nope.
What happened? Like I was thinking of buying one, and I.
Yeah. Well, I pre-ordered on Amazon, back when it was $100, okay. Which seemed a fair price for me, just to be able to copy over saves and
sure.
be able to just have like one thing hooked up to the TV. I mean,
how much is it now?
I think it's like $130, $125.
Yeah, I'd still pay it. Okay.
It seems, but like I was locked into that price before because I bought it on Amazon, but it took so long. It missed so many deadlines. It made, you know, that actually during the time there, my credit card expired.
Oh God. Okay.
Yeah. So when it finally came, it tried to charge it. And instead of like Amazon sending, cause I don't use American Amazon much.
Right.
I very rarely use it because I mostly use Japan Amazon. But this one, you know, because I was paying the shipping and everything. You know, some things American Amazon will send to Japan, the Retron 5 being one of them. But so I didn't. But instead of sending me like an email, like, "Hey, your credit card, it's not, doesn't work. Can you switch that over?" No, they just said, "We've canceled your order for you."
Thanks, Amazon.
Once you update your credit card, you can order it again. No, I can't, because they don't have it on Amazon anymore. Only like buy it used for $400, and I'm like,
oh,
no,
dear God.
Because apparently, even though they are shipping, they're still in very limited. They're still very like supply constrained. So only marketplace sellers are selling it for tons, and I lost my spot. You know, so like I can't have one even if I want one, and like international sellers are like low priority too. So I mean, just in general, you know, if I see one for like $120, yeah, I'll buy it, sure. But the hoops that I have to go through now to get one, I've just kind of given up. Because I have any system that I'd be playing games for, I already have in like the real McCoy, you know. I just thought it would be cool to have everything in one and, you know, maybe in my living room because I'm not so worried about the kids destroying it or anything. And, you know, just so like, and being able to hook up easily to HDMI, you know, that there were a lot of compelling reasons there. But I like the company behind it has unfortunately soured me to it, you know. And I'm willing to be wrong or change, you know, but and if they make them wildly available again, you know, but it'd been delayed so many times and it got, you know, just when it finally was available, I'm like, okay, finally. And then this happened and I'm just like, eh, that's enough.
I'm sorry.
So I have this Bubble Bobble, which I think I'm going to take down to Famicom Dojo today and blow people's minds with.
I thought you were going to blow on the cartridge, which you should never, ever do. Sorry.
But, like, my wife was like, what on earth is that? And I'm like, this is what the Famicom cartridges look like in America. And she's like, why are they so incredibly big? And I'm like, funny story. And she's like, I don't want to watch a video now. And I'm like, okay.
you know, I just realized that when I do make it back to Japan, I won't have seen Hiro for like almost 10 years.
No.
Yeah. 2006 is when I was there. That was the last time I was in Kyushu.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's nuts. That is nuts. Yeah. Despite the fact that he has a picture of you hanging up in the store.
Awkward, I know.
Yeah. yeah. I've mentioned this before, but like right now framed, he's got the I gave him a Famicom Dojo t-shirt so he would wear it, but he framed it and put it up on the wall. And he did the same with the DVD. And I'm like, has he even watched it yet? I think he's watched it. I gave him a second copy so he could actually watch one.
Sure.
And I gave him the flyer from when we presented at Madison Underground.
Yeah.
And he framed that up too.
Nice.
So there's a picture of you looking in your like He-Man bed sheets.
Oh god. Right now. yeah, you can see that shrine if you watch the Neo Geo episode, which reminds me of something I should mention.
Yeah. At
the end of the show.
So that's my shame, and it's not me who's ashamed right now. Hyperion, I don't know.
More like Bipyrion, am I right?
Makers of the Retron 5. I was prepared to give you a amazing endorsement, and all of our listeners would have been like, "Whoa!" Because we know people who listen to this. Nintendo listens to this. And you know, I could do great things for you. But this is when I just feel like an idiot in life, when my big problem is that I cannot make companies take money from me.
Yeah, this was like, this was your pile of shame last week too. Like,
yes.
You're trying.
Why don't people? Is my money smelly? Is it well, dirty?
Did you keep it in that room? I mean,
quiet. It is so musty in here. Okay, I need to get some kind of an air freshener or something. It's really humid in Japan, so paper boxes just kind of. Pick that up.
I have a lavender air freshener in mine because it gets musty in my room too. But there are windows here I can air it out.
This is why we don't call them man caves,
right?
We have lavender.
I do shower every day. No, but lavender for some reason I didn't realize this is what it was. But lavender reminds me of Japan for some reason, and I'm not sure if like Kimi Ryokan just is like filled with lavender or something. But that was like the first place I ever stayed. Was there in Tokyo or Ikebukuro specifically. I was suggesting people places to stop in Tokyo to like have a room and stuff. They are booked solid.
Oh yeah.
I'm surprised that I got in like 2011 when I was supposed to visit, or 2012 when I was supposed to visit again. No, 2011. Yeah. And I was able to get in that fall, but I guess the whole tsunami cleared out bookings.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a good place. If you're in Tokyo, you should consider staying there.
But yeah, you got to get here again. I got room for you now. You can stay right here. You know, well, I don't know. Maybe your family would feel more comfortable in a hotel though. I mean, if it's all of you guys, if it's just you though, just come stay. You can stay in my musty man cave.
Oh, could I? It'll be just like staying at my house.
Yeah, it would be like a lock-in at a public library. Which proving that I'm not strong enough to have something called a man cave actually sounds like a totally fun idea. I would totally do that. I would lock in at a public library. That's
I'm gonna be Game of Thrones all night.
Anyway,
one night wouldn't be enough, actually.
No, probably not. Probably not. The dragons still wouldn't have nearly arrived. I'm sorry. I haven't actually seen Game of Thrones, but I have watched the South Park episode making fun of it.
I have not, so I got to look that up.
Which is very much in line with it's 10 years later when I hear the original song that a favorite Weird Al song was based off and go, "Oh, that was a parody." Because he does original songs too, you know, he does original songs.
Yeah,
too.
I don't remember any of them, but sure he does.
A lot of them are like based off like a type of artist, you know. But yeah, his most famous ones are that. Yoda is a classic song, you know, Yoda. But I thought that was just an original until I heard Lola. And I'm like,
wait, how does that go?
I met him in a swamp down in Dagobah where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A. So, yeah, that's the Weird Al one. And the...
Is it like the original, like, la 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 la? Is it something like that?
Yeah, la 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 la. Yeah,
okay.
Like but, yeah, I heard it. And I'm like, that's a parody.
Hey, speaking of parodies.
Yes?
My pile of shame.
Okay, give me.
You remember when you came to the States last year in August and you had like a whole suitcase full of stuff for me?
Yep.
And two of those things in that suitcase were a Game Boy and Famicom version of the game Parodius.
Yes.
I haven't really played those yet.
Dude.
I know.
Dude, that would have gone so well. Mine was Moero Twin B today, which you've got the second classic cued 'em up.
So right. So this is, I have the original Twin B on Famicom, but I also in that set. No, actually I think you mailed this separately. You gave me Salamander, aka Life Force.
Yes.
And if you're seeing the connections here, these are all the same type of game. So if you play Parodius, okay, it's making fun of games like Life Force, yep, aka Salamander, but in the style of the Cute 'Em Up Twin B, because it has, yes, some of the same ships even you can select,
yes,
from.
Yes, yes.
And the enemies are just insane. So I played the Game Boy version for the first time at MAGFest 2012.
Okay.
With Earl Grey the Third and Carson and Earl actually guest starred in a video that we did about the Sega Mark III that he purchased from Mad Gear,
yes,
that year.
Yes, yes.
So I actually hung out with them for quite a bit, playing games, I think like the next night. And that was the second to last time I was at MAGFest, I think. Yeah. So that was a really good time. And I was one of my own copies. So when you mentioned that you can get that for me, I was like, great. And you got me the Famicom version too. And I'm like, great. So the Famicom one's the one I put in for a little bit. Coincidentally, just after I played a little bit of Salamander, and I was like, oh my God. Okay. So I'm like, know how the whole system works. Like, yeah, you get progressively, you know, there's this bar on the bottom where you get the stuff and then you can have a different, yeah, weapon. And I foolishly chose the question mark and it just sent me back to the beginning because I got like a dud power, yeah, up, like, yep, you know, just like funny stuff like that. But the thing I remember the most about this game is the ridiculous bosses that just, yeah, make
they're
my head
nuts
explode.
They're just nuts.
So I need to play it, like, but it's just like it's behind Metroid Prime 2 right now, plus some of the games I'm supposed to be reviewing that I haven't reviewed yet. So,
you know, I should get you some more, because I mean the original Parodius is good, but like you have a PC Engine.
Yeah.
You need to play Parodius Da.
Oh.
It's like a well, actually I think they're actually the original Parodius is an MSX game. So I think actually the
And I have one of those too.
I think so. Yeah, it's kind of hard to come by these days, but the Famicom one is actually of the second game, Parodius Da, but I don't remember if it's called Parodius Da on the cartridge or if it's just Parodius. I have a copy somewhere. Hold on. Hey, there's the advantage of podcasting in my game room.
Right, because before when I would do this at my old place and I was evicted from my man cave, I was not on the same floor as my stuff, and it was packed away.
It is Parodius Da on okay. Da. But, okay. But the PC Engine one is quite good looking, and it's a little more expensive, but it's quite nice. And of course, then they've got the Super Famicom one was very nice as well.
I thought that you gave me that one too, but I guess I was wrong.
I don't think
I don't think you did. No, you did. I would have it out.
There's somewhere. The Sega Saturn ones. I think the last one is Sexy Parodius, which is a very cool game. Great series. Not super difficult, but amazing. Just amazing bosses. Crazy bosses. The Las Vegas dancer boss, where you have to like, as she marches across the screen, like go under her legs, which when they released a version of it the first one in Europe.
Right.
And they changed it to like a clown. In fact, I think the Game Boy version also changes it to a clown. I don't remember exactly.
Wow.
But yeah, they censored it down. But anyway, yeah. Good you should times. Play that. You should play that.
All so, right. This will come up on Pile of Shame eventually, but I got to clear out some other things first. So I'm already working on one Pile of Shame item, which is Metroid Prime 2. I'm about 5 hours into it.
It's a long game, though. Play Parodius. You can beat the whole thing in 5 hours.
Oh, you're probably right. But I can't save it. I don't think I have 5 hours in a row to play a game right now.
Yeah, me neither.
I guess I could pause it and leave it on, but I don't want my Famicom adapter to burn out.
Yeah. All right.
I wish I had a Retron 5.
I know. If you're listening to this Retron 5, be at my house. I'll buy you.
Yeah. All right.
I'll just wait for the Retron 6.
Right. Might not be one at this rate.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it's selling so well that I can't have one,
Well, is it a supply problem or a...
I don't know.
So before we go, I just want to mention a couple of things. First, I mentioned Neo Geo,
yes.
Neo Geo episode. That is currently airing on WYOU, so you can see that if you live in Madison, Wisconsin. Channel is 995, I want to say. I'm going to look that up too. But it's also on the website, wyou.org, which I'm going to right now to verify what channels they're actually on. They used to be on the analog station 95, but that no longer exists. They don't do analog stations on Charter anymore.
Thanks, Charter.
Right? So if I go to the watch page, you can watch the live stream. Or there's on the schedule. You can find Famicom Dojo on the schedule and look at the past episodes from this current week, and you will see our magnificence. And it's not loading, so this is a great endorsement. Anyway, that's part one. Part two is that this episode is coming out the weekend of Tokyo Game Show. We will not be there in person, but we have representatives in the form of our friends David and Patrick, who are our eyes and ears for the weekend, and they will be tweeting back to us pictures and other fun stuff throughout the weekend, which we will share with all of you wonderful listeners. So it would have been 2 days by the time this podcast comes out. We will have some stuff on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed.
And I have the strong intention to go next year.
I do too. We'll see what happens. And I would really love to see you guys get down in Kyushu. So unless I can make this a long trip where I can take the Shinkansen from down there before or afterward, I don't know how it's going to happen. I cannot fly over twice. I can tell you that much. But channel 991 and digital Charter in Madison, for those of you who are curious about WYOU.
Great.
But all right, that's all I got. Anything else?
Basically, just thank you for all the feedback. When we recorded the last podcast that I was involved in, I know you did one without me. Thanks a lot.
Well, it wasn't. It didn't mean to be without you.
I know.
That's not how it happened.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'm crying on the inside. No, the outside. The outside. There's tears. Anyway, no. I'm okay. But so it's been a while since we talked. So when we recorded last time, we hadn't gotten the feedback from episode 100 yet. But thank you for that. And is that our most downloaded podcast? For the time span it was in?
It has been very popular. It didn't break any records the first week, but like it continued to be downloaded at a pretty high rate. So
you've set the message for us from now on: longer delays between episodes.
Lots of hype, longer delays, less of us talking. I'm getting the message loud and clear.
So let's see: longer delays. More hype, a lot of unnecessary content. Hey, we're Square Enix.
All right. And with that, I think until next time, the dojo is
preparing for the next episode, which will, unlike the other episodes, be an MMO. All right.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at famicomdojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode, sign up for a free Audible trial, or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.